to perfect the saints for the work of the ministries, so that they can edify the body, so that they can edify, instruct, or improve somebody morally. That's what that means. They can improve, they can instruct, they can edify people morally. And what do we need today? The morals of people are just going out the window. They have no morals. And again, it says, until we all, what is this for? Until we all become unified in the faith of God. What could be more important than this, saints of God? What could be more important than this? I'm telling you, we have a long way to go. But God is waiting on us. And the Bible said he's not going to strive. The Spirit of the Lord is not going to strive with us always. It's not going to be with us always. So we're going to have to start picking up the slack right now.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual One Man Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all
Alexander
together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
That's tune in every Tuesday at the same time here on KAYT 88.1 as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
This morning to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 27. St. Matthew's chapter 27. I want to commence reading at verse 62. Recorded are these words. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. I just for emphasis sake want to read back again verse 63, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. For just a little while I want to speak from the subject, you can't keep a good man down. Somebody might be sitting on the side of you who don't understand this. So tell them, neighbor, you can't keep a good man down. Now, if you believe it, give God praise. When we look at this word, there are so many references in the Bible, Old and New Testament, but not only just biblically speaking, but historically speaking. In every area and facet of life, there are situations that interplay where the good suffers at the hand of evil. There are those who have desires to overthrow and undertake, undermine and undercut the good and the right of the righteous in their pursuit of power and of prestige and or prominence. And they will bend and stoop to whatever level is necessary to attain that they are in search of. And there are some folk who just don't mind stepping on you or stepping over you or stepping around you to get what they want, only to find out that even as they do that, that there is a God who sits high and he's continuously looking low. Now, God doesn't always hurriedly step in and stop or alter a situation because he's God. And because he's divine and sovereign and has the ability to reverse the effects of time and situations, he will allow us to see that many things he allows us to go through, even if it is difficult, even if it is bad, even if it is uncomfortable, to prove to us that he is still God and has the ability to have the last word in every situation. God has allowed things to happen to saints that has baffled and mystified the world and even some believers. Why would God allow me to go through what I'm going through? Why would God allow this to happen to such a righteous person? Why would God allow the enemy to have the seeming victory in a certain situation when he has been called and determined to be the God of the entire universe? Well, I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that God says in his word, "For we know that all things work together for good." And I want to say that because so many of us don't understand that God can use bad to bring good multiplied. Some of us don't understand that God can use bad to bring good magnified. Sometimes God allows bad to come up and to come out just to spotlight the good that he's planning to do. And so when we look in this word today and see that this story is no strange story to the Christian church and to the believers at large, I want to say there may be some persons out here who don't understand all that Jesus went through for you. One of the truths of this word is this, and you need to recognize this in your own spirit, that with all of the folk we see out here this morning, if not but one would have accepted Jesus Christ, he still would have died but just you. And that ought to show you how important you are to God, and it ought to show you how important you are to Jesus Christ. Look at this text, if you will. They are in the process now of worrying after they have done their dirt. Now, you know, most folk don't think long enough about the dirt they do. They did their dirt. They crucified him. He is now in a tomb, and they're worried. If they had not done what they did, then they would not be in this predicament. But how many of you know, my brothers and sisters, that the word of God lives even if you kill the prophet? Even if you get rid of the messenger, the message is still alive. Now he's already hung and he's already been buried, and now they are anxious now because they are curious about whether or not he was everything he claimed to be. The Spirit of God is dealing with them now. There they are. They should be happy. They should be rejoicing because, number one, they called him a deceiver.
Now, what is a deceiver but someone who's pretending and claiming to be something or say something or stand on something as a reality, and the truth of the matter is it's a false platform. It's not real. And so, therefore, all that Jesus was proclaiming and all of those things that he determined through the counsel of God and the witnesses of the prophets said that he was and could do, all of a sudden now they are worried, not really that the disciples were going to steal him, but that he really was going to get up. Now, I want you to see this because it's all in the text here. Let's go back, if you will, and look at this. The Word of God says, now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests. Now, look at this. This is the church officials. These are the big folk. These are the folk that killed the Lord Jesus. That's why I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that all church folk ain't saved. And you've got to be careful. God didn't call us just to be members of a church, but he called us to be followers of Christ. And so here were the chief priests. Here were the leading people in the church who did not accept Jesus and who were at the forefront of his crucifixion and death. Look at what the word says. Again, the chief priests and Pharisees, which were the strictest of the religious sect, the most holy of folk, if you want, came together unto Pilate. Now, I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, when evil wants to get rid of you or do you wrong, they will get with everybody else who don't like you and try and plot your downfall. Listen, they came together, the priests, chief priests, and the Pharisees. Look at what verse 30-64 says. They commanded, therefore, that the sepulcher or the sepulcher, whichever you prefer, be made sure until the third day. Now look at what the rest of the word says. Lest his disciples come by night. Now why do they reference this come by night? Because you've got to recognize that they're used to doing things under the cover of darkness. They're used to sneaking and hiding. They're used to throwing a brick and hiding their hands. They know that even when they wanted to know more about Jesus, they sent a man because they were not ready themselves to admit that they didn't have the answer, but they didn't want to accept Jesus as the answer. So they sent Nicodemus one day by night to inquire, and he said, we know. Well, who was he talking about? He was talking about all of these folk who sent him to inquire about Jesus Christ. So listen to what they said now, because you know if you're used to doing wrong, it's easy for you to think wrong. And you think if you do it, everybody is doing it. So look at what they said. They said, again, command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Now they are stirred because the Holy Ghost keeps speaking in their ears and in their hearts the words of Jesus Christ. After 3 days, I shall rise again. All of the stuff they tried to tune out. And you know when God is dealing with you and you're trying to go opposite of his word, his spirit and his word rises up in you and challenges you, brings back to your mind and your memory what he has said. And you have to tune up what you're thinking about and keen in on focus in on what you're trying to do to tune him out. But here, they could not. It bothered them so much so that they all got together and went to Pilate and said, you've got to do something. Now, Pilate had a problem, first of all, because, number one, he didn't have anything to do with Jesus really being killed. Now, he allowed it to happen, but he didn't want it because he went to him and said, I find no fault in the man. He's upset now because he played a part in this act, and he recognized that he allowed an innocent man to be killed. So his conscience is bothering him. He's upset now. They come to him, and they're commanding him to make the grave sure. Well, what does that mean? It means to put a Roman watch and a seal so that if that guard or the guards and the seal were on the door, the proof would be that that tomb was sealed, and if the seal had been broken, then it meant that somebody tampered with the grave, and they could prove that somebody tampered with the grave and say that he didn't rise, but somebody stole him from the grave. Now, they didn't want him to get out the grave, so they said, we want you to make it sure. Now, that meant we want all of the force of the Roman government behind this situation that we have done. We want all of the forces of hell, if you will, to help us to keep this thing undercover. And so look at what the word says, because I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, what you understand as the word of God is God's truth that he performs and backs up, whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, whether you want it or not. Look at what the word of God says. The Bible says, Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, you have some gods. You have a process by which you keep things sure. Look at what he says. He says, go your way, make it as sure as you can. Now, Pilate has said, you got to understand this terminology. He's saying, listen, you done already made me do something I didn't want to do. And he's saying, listen, I'm not going to participate any further. I've done enough to this innocent man. And what Pilate was really saying underneath the skin is, now you're worried that what he said is true. You got some people, you got some gods, you make it as sure as you can. And underneath his breath, he was saying, I wish he dug it up. That's why he said, you make it as sure as you can. I'm not going to participate with you more. I want him to get up underneath the skin. Listen at this. The Bible says, so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Sealing the stone. They did everything necessary and possible. They sealed it, and they put clay on that, and they made an imprint on it, which meant that that was the seal. That meant that that thing was set aside. Nobody could go in. Nobody was coming out. But look at what verse 1 of the next chapter says. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, look at this now. Because I think if you read all of the gospel accounts, you'll get a much better picture, a fuller picture. You've got to see how the angel of the Lord, being the representative of the Lord on that third day, when Jesus said he was going to get up out of that grave, God sent a heavenly host down to escort him out of that place that man put him in. Listen, when he got up by the power of God, God wanted him to understand that he had placed, as according to the word, and Jesus would declare later, all power in his hand. Now, with all power in his hand, don't you know he could have rolled the stone back himself? But according to tradition and customs, whenever royalty came forth, there were always heralders, announcers, those who would proclaim who he was and what he was. And so God sent angels all the way down from heaven to open up the tomb's door and then roll back the stone. And the men who were guarding it, the Bible says, they fell down as dead men. They fainted when God sent a heavenly host down to escort Jesus out of the grave. Now listen at this. Angels, one of them is sitting on top of this stone. He's not here now, because that happened 2,000 years ago. But I want you to see something, because the word says this. The Bible says, when it began to, you know, at the end of the Sabbath, and it was began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Now, you're talking about the same Jesus. Now, I know, and he makes clear, because he was crucified. But look at what the next word says. He is not here. Now, the men, the Roman gods, or rather the Jewish gods and all who had kept the tomb, are lying out as if they were dead, fainted, knocked out. The stone is rolled away, and the angel is declaring that he's not dead and nobody stole his body. He is not here because he has risen, and he is proclaiming who he is and what God has called him to do, and that is to bring salvation to the world. And his mission is complete, and he's going to walk around this earth 40 days showing this resurrected body and the power of God in the earth realm. Look at this. The Bible says he is not here, for he is risen as what? As he said. See the place where the Lord lay. He was giving them a tour of the empty tomb so that the word and the witness would go forth and spread mightily that Jesus is alive. People came, Mary Magdalene and all of these other women came to prepare his body for a mummified state. But when they got there, they found out that not only was the stone that they anticipated being there was rolled away, but the body that they were going to embalm had also been taken away. And they thought that somebody had placed him in another place, according to another writer, until he spoke to them and showed to them that he was alive just like he said he would. Now, when he did this, listen, it put down every power, every principality, every force, every lie, and every demon that came against the reality of the risen Savior. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus Christ got up out of the grave early that Sunday morning, he then made the reality sure that he was Lord in heaven and earth and beneath the earth. And just as he said he would get up early that Sunday morning, he is alive even today to prove that the tomb is still empty. Now listen at this, because you need to understand as I close this morning, that what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. He will allow you to go down for a little while, but if he lets you go down, it's only to reposition you. It's only to put you in a better place and in a better space and to declare his glory and then to deliver into your hand the goodness that he promised you. All saints, don't be afraid of going through nothing. Don't be afraid of happenings in your life and situations and diversities and situations of complexity happening in your life. If the Lord Jesus Christ went down to hell, and can I tell you, when he went down there, he went with the keys. Y'all don't hear me this morning. And when he went down, listen, he couldn't have unlocked hell unless he went to hell. And some of you are afraid of going through hell, but you got to know he left us with the keys. And the purpose he gave you the keys for, when you go through hell, you can start locking up some stuff. Somebody ought to hear me. All of the stuff the devil is doing, God gave you the keys to go through some hell, to lock up all of the evil, and then to release the blessings that the devil stole from you. If the devil has your blessings, guess where he's locked them down in? He's locked them down in hell. That's why Jesus said, I have the keys. I have the power over death and hell. And he gave that same authority to you. All because he rose this morning. Because he got up out of that grave. You no longer have to stay down. Yes, you might be knocked down, but it's only for a season, because he's going to lift you up. I wish I had some witnesses here. Can I just go back to the Old Testament? You can knock a good man down, but you can't keep him down there. Come here, Joseph. He had a dream that God was going to lift him up one day. He had a vision that God was going to take him to higher places. But can I tell you, you got to be careful who you share your dreams and who you share your visions with, because some people won't believe what God's going to do through you. And this brothers, listen at this, sold him into slavery. They were trying to kill him, but they had just a little bit of love, but they knew what would happen to their father if they killed him. But they took him, and they tried to destroy him. But listen, God let him go through something. All of the years that he suffered, down, the devil thought they had him. But how many of you know, just when you think it's about over and look like all hope is gone, God knows how to show up and show out and come to your rescue right on time. When they really needed Joseph, God had elevated him to the place where he was the head man. And I'm here to tell you, when you are in the position of trying to knock down a child of God, it might not be today and it might not be tomorrow, but the same God that used you to understand his word is the same God who will use them that you knock down to show he's still God with all power in his hands. Joseph told his brothers, I know what you did and I understand what you did, but I still love you. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Come here, Job, help me this morning, because there are people out here that don't understand that you're going to go through things. You're going to be
tortured, you're going to be tormented, you're going to lose some things, including finances, including family, including friends. But long as there's one who sticketh closer than a brother, you ain't got to worry. Everything will be all right. What the devil took from him, God say, stay down for a little while. While I fight your battle, stay down for a little while. While I fix your situation, stay down for a little while. Until I bring you back up. And when he brought him up twice as high. Some of you crying and don't know that God has just fixed it so you can be better blessed than you were before you went down. I know I ought not be doing this outside, but it's all right this morning. How many of you know that what you might be going through this morning, God has custom ordered that thing? Because can I tell you, the devil can't put on you no more than what God will allow. And if God allows it, then you've got to know in your spirit that he's working it out for my better good. That's why when they lie on you, when they talk about you, when they mistreat you, when they cast you down, don't turn on them. Don't do them wrong. Get down on your knees and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. Say, Father, you promised you would fight all my battles. They've knocked me down. But oh, how many of you know that we've got resurrection power just like he got up early one Sunday morning. He rose in our spirit, and we don't have to wait once a year to say he's alive and well. We don't have to wait once a year to talk about how he gave us power. We don't have to wait once a year to declare we are who he says we are. We don't have to wait once a year to go out and tell the world what he's done for me. He'll do the same for you. We don't have to wait once a year to dress up or dress down to tell people that he lives, because he lives on the inside. We don't have to wait once a year to walk in the projects, to walk down the streets, to walk in the malls, to go on our jobs, to tell the dope pushers, to tell the prostitutes, to tell the wayward child, to tell the homeless person that Jesus lives. He lives. How many of you know he lives? I got him on the inside. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Somebody who may be down, somebody who may be going through, somebody who's looking to the world need to know Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to go to the Father, you got to come by me. I'm leaving when I tell you, thank God for Jesus this morning. Thank God for the resurrection experience. Thank God that he got up. And because he got up, I will get up. You will get up. The devil can't keep you down. We've got victory. Victory. Victory over sickness. Victory over poverty. Victory over death. Victory over our enemies. Victory. 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 Yeah! How many of you got it this morning? Say, yeah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah! Thank you for the victory this morning. Oh, don't be ashamed to give him some praise. Has he been good to you? Has he been good to you?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry.